Final hour of the week, abbreviated week here on 102.5 The Game. We had the 4th of July, but man, we have had some packed shows here the last couple of days. Breaking down everything Barry Trotz has been up to and the Predators. We've been talking the latest with DeAndre Hopkins. When's the next shoe going to fall with that? We're having some fun today. Just had a great segment with Ask D-Mace. And our show continues here, brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook, the only sportsbook in Tennessee with a cash rewards program. Betting just got better. Download today. As we promised earlier, Terry McCormick joins us from TitanInsider.com. He also contributes to Main Street Media. Had a great article today, and it's a great summer topic, and that is what teams now are doing. Year in and year out, there are more and more teams now paying much closer attention to the mental health of their players, and even looking at it as a way to coach players, a way to make your team better on the field, on the ice, on the court. So Terry did some investigating and looked into what the Titans have been doing on that front. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Terry, what'd you find out? I know this is a big trend, and I'm really glad to see it. This is something that's probably long overdue, but now I think teams are getting much more progressive with this. The stigma is going away. Hey, if you have to see the mental coach, that means something's wrong with you or something like that. But now it's been looked at as an asset, and the Titans are jumping in on this.
Yeah, I think the biggest example of this was the whole ordeal that Ryan Tannehill came out publicly and talked about months after the 2021 playoff game where he had the three interceptions. And he said that, you know, going to therapy and talking through things, working through things in his mind with people to talk to was something that really helped him and made an impact on him to be able to come back and play again and thrive as a player. And you know, you wouldn't think a lot of times, you know, just looking at it, that an NFL quarterback, a leader of men on the field, would be vulnerable to something like that. But, you know, these athletes are human too. And, you know, if you are, you know, well, you guys are on the air, so if you make a mistake, people will hear about it or whatever a lot of times. But, you know, people in most jobs, if you make a mistake at your job, even if you get fired at it, it's not going to be something that the public at large is going to know about. If Ryan Tannehill throws three interceptions in a playoff game, the whole country knows about it because they, you know, many of them sat there and watched it either live in the stadium or on television. So it's, you know, it's quite different, you know, how the mental aspect goes and how deep it goes for a lot of these guys. And it's really when your head's clouded and when you're not able to focus the way you should, you know, it not only can be run a poor performance, think about it like in baseball terms. If you're in the batter's box and you're not focused on hitting that 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you're not in a good frame of mind and you're not safe.
So tell us how the Titans came to find the people that are helping a lot of their players currently. Because it's an interesting story. It starts with Dansby Swanson, doesn't it?
It does. Mike Vrabel's son, Carter Vrabel, played baseball at Volunteer State Community College, and I believe he's headed to Tennessee Tech now to play baseball there, was a fan of Dansby Swanson. And I guess Dansby must have posted something on social media about this company called Cheat Code and a guy named Dr. Mondo. His name is Armando Gonzalez, and then he has a partner. And I'm not going to try to pronounce his name because I probably wouldn't do it justice. But his first name is Manu. So these two guys have this company called the Cheat Code. And they deal with athletes in dealing with, you know, the struggles that they go through to be able to clear their mind and to do things like this. And so Dansby Swanson had endorsed these guys. Carter Vrabel was a fan of Dansby Swanson. He told Mike Vrabel about it. Mike decided, hey, let's explore this, because Mike is the type of guy that anything for a competitive advantage, anything to benefit the team and the players, he's all for it. So he reaches out to these guys. And this is during the midst of COVID, where there's a lot of, you know, changes in our world, shall we say. There's, you know, people isolated, quarantined, there's Zoom meetings, there's, you know, talk about vaccines, this, that, and the other, and, you know, all sorts of, you know, opportunity for loneliness, for division, for all that sort of thing. And so Vrabel reaches out to these guys, and they start kind of guiding the team in a mental health way through the COVID process via Zoom. And at first it wasn't great because there wasn't any personal interaction. You know, not a lot of that can be done via Zoom. But then once they were allowed to come into the building, they formed a partnership with the Titans, and now they're consultants to the team, and every player on the team has access to these guys if they want to talk to them. These guys will come in and they'll spend sometimes several days at the facility, you know, in team meetings and meeting individually with players who may need it. They've been at road games, you know, to discuss things with people, and also they do stuff, you know, via Zoom still. So there's a lot of access for the players that want this to be able to talk through things and to get their mind right, you know, before they take the field.
We'll talk with Terry McCormick, Titans Insider.com. Now, Terry, because, you know, this type of help has been in the NFL for a very long time. I can recall, you know, having, you know, a therapist there in Baltimore to be able to help certain things as you sort of navigate through life. But obviously it's gotten a lot bigger. And it seems like just about every team, when you're talking about sports, or every individual, is using some company or someone. But the stigma always was sort of, listen, I may not want to go see this person because of what they will tell the club, you know, because the club did bring them in. We felt as if they were employed by the club. So if we go in there and start discussing our problems, that eventually it would get back to the coaches, and then they can make a determination on, you know, is this guy truly a fit for our team or not? Do you think that stigma still is there with NFL players?
It may be with some guys. I guess, it, you know, a lot of it depends on the individual and how trusting they are of others. But I think, you know, when Vrabel talks about this, he doesn't make it mandatory for guys to, you know, to go and have meetings with these. He just makes it available. And, you know, I think that, you know, by and large, you know, and certainly the NFL Players Association probably ought to have an idea about this too, that, you know, what stays, you know, what's confidential between the therapist and the player should stay that way. Unless the team is on a need-to-know basis for some reason or other, you know, in terms of whatever matter they're dealing with. I think for the most part, it would have to be, you know, confidential so that these guys can have the trust of the therapist, because, you know, there are HIPAA laws and things like that certainly cannot be violated in matters like these, because you're talking about a person's mental health.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this are these services – also available to a player's families, like, for instance, his wife, you know, because a lot goes into and we heard Matt Duchene sort of talk about this a little bit, about the dynamics between him and finding a good place, not just for him, but for his family, because, you know, he can sort of get into the locker room and he's good. But it's his family that has to work through finding this, finding that, get acclimated to a new city and everything else. So is those things available for the players' families, if you know?
Well, I honestly don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know it is available if the coaches want to take part as well. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly for the players, from what I understand. This program with, you know, Dr. Mondo and Manu, it is mainly for the players. And it not only helps them with their personal problems, but it also works to kind of unlock their mental potential so that they can perform better on the field. So it's kind of a personal, you know, therapy session, but it's also kind of a professional therapy session for their job as well. I don't know if such a thing like that is available for, you know, players' families or anything like that. My guess would be that it probably would not be, because, you know, the players' families and wives and all, you know, I'm assuming that they would probably have to have their, you know, their own independent, you know, sessions.
It's a really interesting question you're asking, Derek, because the two kind of intertwined, right?
Exactly.
If you're at peace with how your family is, it probably helps your performance on the field. But there are things directly, and here's an example, Terry, that you note in your article, that there's a you know, you're getting direct sort of mental training to how to handle yourself with reps at practice, for example. You've got Will Levis on the record saying, yeah, he's using this stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I think that that's a big part of it because, you know, for so long, you know, everybody has marveled at, you know, the ability of, you know, high-quality athletes to perform at a high level. But there really does seem to be a correlation between how the mind works and what separates the really good from the truly great. You know, there are lots of guys who are really good at golf and can go out there with no pressure on them and shoot a 68. But there's only a handful of guys who are capable of shooting a 68 on Sunday at Augusta to win the Masters. And that mental challenge, that mental sharpness is, I think, a lot of what these guys are trying to unlock in order to get to that highest level of excellence.
Terry, really good stuff. Good article. Tell people where they can see that article if they want to read more about it.
Go to TitanInsider.com or any of the Main Street media properties, such as Main Street Nashville or Main Street Clarksville, the Hendersonville Standard, Gallatin News, Murfreesboro Post, Wilson Post, all those you know, papers in and around Middle Tennessee. It should be, you know, as those publications come out, it'll probably be in the sports section of those papers.
Outstanding. Terry, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. When we come back, we'll process a little bit more of what he says and how this is now being used to try to help the team's performance. It's a little more out in the open than it was before. We'll get D-Mace's perspective on this. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace continuing. Don't forget, Take It to the Bank is coming up at 1:45. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Caroline's going to join us for that segment. She is hosting for Jared a little bit later today, starting at 2. So we've got that coming just around the corner. We're here in our game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Now, Nick Frazier got a very interesting phone call during the break. Nick, can you tell us the details?
Yes, a very angry former athlete in the NFL was saying, you know, you're not including me on a list or something. I was like, listen, yeah. I don't shoot the messenger.
This was the day they asked D-Mace.
Yes.
Where Derek was asked the fastest teammate that he played with.
And it was Chris.
Word got back to somebody who wasn't very happy.
In Vegas, somebody at the slot machine.
I think he's on the line right now.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
Is that him? Wait. I think so.
Chris Sanders is on the line here. So, Chris, I mean, you're in Vegas. Hey. So, we're honored that you're listening to the show over there.
At the slot machine. What are you playing, penny slots?
Half a penny because it's taking all my money. I came in with $5 and only got $2 left.
That's a lot of misses.
Hey, man, I'm at the slot machine, man. I get a call from Greg Poole, man. He gives me some disturbing news. Said they called, you know, they said that Derek Mason had a list that came out with the fastest players on the team.
The question was the fastest player you ever played with.
That's selective hearing. They said the player, just one player.
I got to be in the top two, man. I got a bad haircut. I can't play golf. I walk funny. But I got to be on the list, man. That's all I'm asking.
Listen, Chris, you are on the list. You are damn sure fast. You are damn sure faster than me, I tell you that. you're faster than all the receivers, I tell you that, in that room.
Okay,
you are on the list. But they said specifically, like, one guy.
Okay.
And I was like, man, yeah, your mom figures that kid was fast, like lightning fast.
But for context, now, Chris, your rebuttal here, because you have broken records that were once owned by Jesse Owens.
Yeah, Jamon hasn't done that. I don't think he's done that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, but Chris is. My Chris was fast.
D-Mace, my heart is broken, man. I mean, no, seriously. I got so sad that I left the slot machine. I did some sprints in the hallway.
You know damn well you can't sprint right now. Boy, you ain't doing no lower body.
Dude, from not running, man, I can't say that. Never mind. I go say I'm crazy, but I'm not.
All right,
no.
How y'all doing, man? Y'all doing good?
We're doing well, but we have a question for you now that you're in Vegas now, Chris. Have you seen Britney Spears anywhere?
No, I saw Al Jarreau.
Now you've just lost some of the younger listeners.
Exactly, they tuned out.
Yes, I Al Jarreau. That's pretty big time. That's big time stuff. But where did this Britney Spears and Victor Wembanyama video take place? Was that in Vegas?
It was in Vegas. Yeah.
Who is that?
Victor Wembanyama, the first pick in the NBA draft. The guy that's like 8 feet tall, but he dribbles and moves like he's 6 foot two. And Britney Spears just ran up on him from behind.
Yeah, this is a big video that's going crazy right now.
Man, it's crazy, man. That's like me holding Whoopi Goldberg's hand. I mean, it's not going to work.
I don't know how Whoopi got it.
Whoopi Goldberg out of all people. Why did you pick Whoopi Goldberg?
Hey, in Color Purple, Whoopi was fine. You know it too, D-Mace. You do it.
Another reference that our generation can get.
Exactly.
Some of the younger listeners, I'm not sure.
Even though they do have a new Color Purple coming out, just so y'all know.
They can't mess up that show, man. Come on.
Well, Fantasia is playing Whoopi. Playing her character in the new one.
Okay, but that's cool, man. It should be pretty good.
You know what, Chris, while we have you on the phone here.
Sure.
We're talking to Chris Sanders, Forever Titan, really good friend of mine, great guy in general.
Thank you.
You know, we had Terry McCormick on, Chris, and he was talking about teams now imploring, you know, these psychologists, are they psychologists? Yeah.
From a mental standpoint. Call them different, but like mental coaches. Like they're actually talking about them like part of the staff, and they're there in the building. And it's like you said, it used to be more of a, hey, you know, go see this person, but maybe they're not in the office. Now they're like right there.
Exactly.
And it seems like a new wave. And Chris, you coach young people too.
Yes,
and it does seem like it's evolved a lot over the years. It's now looking at, hey, this is a way we can really strengthen our team on the field as well as keep people in mental health.
Yeah, it's funny because you say that, because I work at Montgomery Bet Academy, and that's kind of my main position. I work as a counselor because there's a lot of people that go through things like their families go through divorce, or they go through a situation that happened on the field, but even just, you know, going through depression and anxiety. So those are kind of the things that I deal with, and just kind of piggyback on that also, that when I went through my divorce and I went through some trials and tribulations, I needed somebody to talk to. And I think sometimes we as men, we think it's soft or being weak to talk to another man, because Derek knows I went through a divorce. I went through some tough times and I went through some hurts. And sometimes we feel like we don't have nobody to talk to. But once I understood that I needed somebody to talk to, I needed somebody to coach me up and to help me overcome to some of the things I went through. And I'm not trying to, you know, tell my personal business, but a lot of people don't know that when I went through my divorces, I went through a time of depression, a time of doubt, of insecurities, and all these things. And I had to go and talk to some people like Ricky Bowers, a guy named K-Dub, guys that I can confide in to say, you know what, I'm dealing with these issues. And what they did is they spoke to the situation and helped me get to where I need to be. So I'm glad that more teams are doing that, because, listen, there's a lot of guys that are going through stuff, but they're afraid to talk to somebody. Just like A.J. Brown a couple of years, he said that he was going through a situation where he was depressed. But once he got the help and had somebody talk to him and coach him up, now he can overcome a lot of things in his life.
Yeah, and that's what I think the everyday listener or the everyday fan, whether you're a fan of the you know, players on the Tennessee Titans, Nashville Predators, you know, name any team out there, Vanderbilt, whatever. They don't understand.
Right.
Sometimes they are just looking at a snapshot of what happens on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday. NFL plays just about every day. But they're just seeing a snapshot of this person. They're not seeing what this man or this woman is going through, you know, Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, and then having to go through all that and still have to perform at a high level. A lot of people can't do that.
And Derek, I'm glad that you said it, because the thing about it is if we can coach a person up on the field, why can't we get coached up in life? But I think society has it making men believe that if they confide in another man, that they're just big softy. But that's not the case. And you know, Derek, we played in the NFL a long time. We went through some stuff. We went to where, okay, you're the best player in America, to where you ain't nothing. So how do you deal with those insecurities? How do you deal when people have said some things about you that's not true? All this stuff that's going on that I had to deal with for a lot of years. And what I did is, it's kind of like this. Because I write a lot of stuff down on a computer, and I wrote this down. A lot of guys are suffocating in silence. And for many years after my divorce, D-Mace, I was suffocating in silence. But once I understood that I needed some help, I needed to talk to, you know, K-Dub, or talk to, Ricky Bowser of things that I was going through, because I was suffocating in silence. But once I understood that I had to love that guy in the mirror first, and once I started to love that guy in the mirror first, then now I can submit myself to somebody to say, you know what, I'm dealing with this, and I'm not ashamed to say that I went through, because I needed it. Now I can teach these kids. Now I can teach these guys in the field that, hey, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Talk to somebody. I went through it, and now I can help these guys. So I don't mean to get all personal, get all emotional, but when you're going through that stuff and you feel like you're alone, there's a lot of guys are suffocating in silence.
And Chris, it does look like, in addition to that, which is extremely, that's probably the most important thing, right? Just making sure you're in a good place in your life. It's even gone to the next level, it seems like, where they're actually coaching players on how to prepare themselves mentally for a practice, for a rep, to recover from a bad play, right? I ran the wrong route, or, you know, I just got beat for a touchdown. How do I deal with that? How do I coach myself? Yeah. I know what I'm supposed to do, but how do I make sure I go through the steps to know that I can forget a bad play and go on to the next play?
Right, but see, before we can even do that, you got to get to the root of why they're responding that way. You know, it goes back to when they were a kid. Did they have something happen when they were a kid? Did they have a situation to where, you know, somebody said a negative words and they carried that negative words in their heart? So now when they get in a situation, they catch seven balls, but they're focused on the one that they drop. So when I talk to kids at Montgomery Bell Academy, first of all, number one, I build a relationship with them so they can trust me. And number two is I get to the root of it. So once I get to the root of it, so now they get in that situation, I can coach them up on how to overcome that, because somebody did that for me. So that's kind of what it is. I get to the root of it as of just talking about the surface.
Well, I can remember the six words that, you know, Chris said to me in the locker room one day, because, I mean, my career didn't start off perfectly. I had my trials and whatnot, and I was discouraged. But I remember one day Chris said to me, listen, don't let them steal your joy. Go out there and play. And when he said that to me, it was like, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm going to go, no matter what's going on, I got to go out there and have fun. I got to do my job and have fun. Yeah. The minute he said that, I went out there and had fun. Not to say that every day was great, but I always kept that in the back of my mind when things were not going as well. So,
And D-Maze, let me brag on you. I know you got to get out there. But this is what I love about you, and I brag about you all the time. That you're a great man, you were a great player, but I love how you overcame the adversity. And when I'm saying this, I hope Amy Shrunk or whoever is listening with the Tennessee Titans, I believe with all my heart that you are one of the best Titans to ever come out of this organization, and I believe that you need to be in the Ring of Honor. And also, I believe that you're going to be a Hall of Famer, not because of what you did on the field, is because how you overcame the adversity to become the Derek Mason that you are. And I love you for that, buddy.
Well, thank you, brother. I love you, too. You know that.
You're still an awful golfer, though.
Give me two gloves. I can golf all day.
them Newman gloves.
Exactly.
The Newman gloves. And, Chris, you said all this, man, despite the fact that he did not say that you
he's
were the
on
fastest
my list.
Player.
Chris is on my list.
No, I'm not.
I tell you one thing,
man.
He was fast at getting to those donuts. I tell you that.
Hey, I went to Dunkin' Donuts in 7 this morning. Why would I come out of Vegas to go to Dunkin' Donuts, man?
Hey, because donuts is your weakness,
man.
The
donut was like $12. I'm like, I got five for slot games.
Wow. Man. Well, you better get busy on those penny slot machines to afford some more donuts, it sounds like.
I got $2, and that's my cab ride to the airport, so I got to be careful.
Oh, man. Well, Chris, good luck getting back safely, and thanks for joining us today. That was really good stuff. As always, great to talk to
you. Love you guys so much. Thank you, bro.
Chris Sanders joining us from Vegas, and he did not know who Victor Wembanyama was.
That's because Chris really, he's not a basketball guy. Chris is not
dialed
into the NBA.
That was great stuff. And great perspective, too, because he coaches young people. He understanding the importance of mental health. He talked about his own trials that you go through as players. And back in the day, there weren't these resources. It wasn't there as prevalent, as open as it is now. So that's a really good way that things have moved forward in sports. It's a good thing. When we come back, we'll move closer to Take It to the Bank. Caroline will join us for that. And we'll see what else we get up to. Has anybody seen this video with Britney Spears and Victor Wembanyama? Where did that come from? We might have to discuss this when we go back. Stay tuned. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria. Let me try that again. Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria. Calabria has been a Mount Juliet staple for 7 years, and they have added a brand new Goodlettsville location at 401 Long Hollow Pike. Their brick oven pizza is cooked to perfection, and right now you can get half off a $20 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. So hit that website. 615-737-1025 is our number. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's just in the mental health discussion and the progressive things. Terry McCormick's got a great article on this, just specifically on what the Titans have done the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Joe texts in, do you think the Isaiah Wilson situation influenced Mike Vrabel to this mental health thing? I'm thinking back to 2020, right? You had that draft where they selected Isaiah Wilson. They couldn't do the normal draft preparation. Mm-hmm. Also, think about that whole period leading up, the shutdown. Nobody could get together. You had the George Floyd thing. I can remember Mike Vrabel, Kevin Byard, Ryan Tannehill, a very emotional press conference that took place on how they're trying to deal mentally as a team, as a society, with their families, on all of that stuff. Then the season starts, and remember, they were the first team to get shut down because of COVID, the spread that hit their team. They had a lot of things that they were dealing with there, and just the specifically the pandemic itself, it affected different people different ways. I don't doubt that Mike Vrabel did a lot of searching and say, okay, what can I do here to help my team and their families get through this and be better for it? And I think now it's evolved a couple years later. You're still looking at it as a way to have a catalyst to success for everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have had to sort of figure out a way you can – not make your team better, but not necessarily, you know, on the football field. Like Vrabel, he can do that. How making them better actually, you know, on the football field with the reps, you know, that we take and the meeting, the times in the meeting rooms, going over things, making sure guys know the details and everything else. He has a good grasp of that. I think he was trying to figure out, how do I get these guys before they get on the football field so they are not taking those problems and those issues onto the football field? Because, listen, there's 52 men in that room, probably more than that. So you're talking about almost 60 different problems, you know, that you have to deal with as a coach. Not only do you have to deal with that, but you also have to make sure they're prepared and ready to go on the football field, especially those guys that are the backups, that if somebody gets hurt, you got to be prepared and ready to go. So you have all this stuff as a head coach that you have to be mindful of. You didn't go to school, or you didn't get your degree in psychology. Some people may have, but you're not using that degree. So you want to bring in someone else that knows exactly how to talk to a player and how to pull those things out of a player that he may be going through outside of the building, or maybe he may be going through within the building. So now you're bringing in this team of people that are sort of the front line. You know, when we talk about, armed services, there's a front line, and then there's other people like behind them. Mm-hmm. Well, these mental health experts are sort of now like the front line. Before you even get on the football field, this needs to be addressed. You know, we're going to give you that space where you can, you know, articulate whatever you're going through. You know, if it's hurting you in real life outside the football field building, then more than likely, usually it seeps into, you know, the building.
Yes.
And it affects you. Now, some guys are able to deal with it well, but majority of guys, it affects them when they go on the field. They can't play to the maximum ability that they need to because they're worried about other stuff.
I'm wondering specifically, the question was about Isaiah Wilson, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what was available to him then as mm-hmm. opposed to now. But the other part that I think about when somebody asks that question is that the player also has to be willing
to open
to
up.
Listen,
yeah.
open up, and try to, you know, accept or you know, really commit mm-hmm. to that part of it if they're going to come through. And obviously he didn't, mm-hmm. right? It just didn't work out as well. But I know that they tried. They were trying things mm-hmm. with him. It's not like they were just like, well, you know, Isaiah will figure it out. You know, they were constantly spending hours, I'm mm-hmm. sure, trying to figure out how to help him, how to allow him to help himself. But it doesn't always work, obviously.
Yeah, because
so I don't know that they did all this because it didn't go well with Isaiah Wilson. I think it was part of a bigger picture here.
But I think he sees where this is going. So he want to make sure whether Isaiah Wilson was a part of the reason why he is more open and receptive to having someone in the building or someone, you know, available. And that's all players want, you know, is to know that someone's available if indeed they do need to talk. You know, again, we had one in Baltimore. People weren't in our office all the time. But she had an office there, and she was available to talk to the players if they needed. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what Vrabel is thinking. As long as I make these things available, then, yeah, some players are going to be in there a lot. And some players may never go in there, but then you're going to have some players that are sort of in, you know, and out, maybe come in there once every month or twice a month just to sort of, you know, go over things that they're going through in their life. And it may not even be anything dramatic, but just so they can get it off their chest.
All right, when we come back, it'll be time to take it to the bank. We'll see what we predict for the weekend coming ahead. Here on 102.5 The Game, this is Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace continues. Final chapter of today's show, and that means on a Friday, it's time to take it to the bank with F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. Customer, community, F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. We have fun every Friday with this. We try to make a bold prediction of what's going to happen with the weekend coming up. Caroline is sitting in for Jared today, co-hosting the show, starting at 2 o'clock, but she has come in early to try to take it to the bank. Caroline, thanks for coming in. Wait, we got to get Mike.
Yeah,
we got to get the mic. Here we go. Yeah,
I think I was being silenced.
There you go.
Well, sorry, Caroline.
I am just giving you a hard time.
You know, first week on the job here at the Midday Show, trying to keep, you know, things afloat.
You have done a fantastic job. I'm just giving you a hard time. But happy to be here. I would never miss a Take It to the Bank. But after all of these days of these Fridays of Jared playing hooky, I feel like I've been taken away.
Okay.
From my Take It to the Bank privileges.
Yes.
Yes. He can't take you away from us that easy. We got to get you in here for this. Okay, now first, we got to know, how is the arm? Because you threw the first pitch out at the Sounds game last night. How are we feeling?
A little sore. You know, the shoulder. I iced the shoulder a little bit because I was throwing heat out there. I don't know if you saw.
Okay.
A couple change-ups. Nice little 12-6 curve. I've got a pretty solid arsenal. I showed off a good bit of it last night.
Okay, but you're still here. You haven't been signed to a professional contract yet.
Yet is the key word. Yet is the key word. Yes. Now,
when it was the moment of truth,
though. But not here on Monday, you know where I am.
Okay, okay. Yeah. That's good to keep. We'll keep that in mind over the weekend. So when the moment of truth happened and it was time to throw, how did you feel the pitch went?
I felt like it went pretty well.
Strike?
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, and I wasn't nervous. Uh-huh. I had done it before, so I felt like that got the nerves out a little bit. And I wasn't nervous. I was excited more than anything. And then I went on Jared's show for Jared versus Joe. And Jared said that the Lost Jared Sportsbooks had me bouncing the ball at -110 odds and me getting it over the plate at +200. And that didn't make me nervous. It just pissed me off.
Yeah, motivation.
Oh, you're going to count me out. Yeah, I was the underdog in the Lost Jared Sportsbooks. But it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Shout out to Nashville Sounds for being so accommodating, being so friendly. It was a blast of a game. We had a great time last night.
So, like, four-seam fastball, 93, 94, is that what we're thinking?
You know, the scouts were telling me I was pushing 95, and that's what I really got to work on in the offseason, is really working on my speed. But I'll be in the weight room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, medicine ball stuff.
Yeah, I'll get my speed up. It comes with time. I'm focused on control, having command of the plate, and then I think speed will come.
Trying to dot the corners. I get it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all you really can do at this point.
Hey, I got to see that 12-6 curveball.
All right, so let's see what we have for Take It to the Bank. Now, last week, I'm going to again pat myself on the back. I have now hit a couple in a row here. Okay. I'm on a streak. So, Caroline, you were predicting doom and gloom for your St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes.
But it was sort of you were trying to trick yourself a little bit, and it kind of worked for you in one way. You knew it was going to work one way or the other.
I hedged my happiness. I knew that so my Take It to the Bank last week was, I thought the Cardinals were going to get swept and it was going to be ugly against the Yankees in their weekend series last weekend. Cardinals actually won that series. So I thought, okay, if I win my Take It to the Bank, then great. I win my Take It to the Bank. And if I don't, then great. My team's good again. But then, so the Cardinals won the series against the Yankees, and then they got swept by the Marlins by what was the total? Like 45-10?
Including a loss where they lost on the last play of the game by throwing a ball over the first baseman's head.
Jordan Hicks. Thank you, Willie, for reminding me.
When I thought I forgot about it, Willie brings it back in. Yeah, so I did not
win my
Take It to the Bank last week, nor is my baseball team good. So it's kind of a double loss there.
There you go.
I still have one that's pending. Mm-hmm. Pending. It has not been determined yet, but I'm feeling pretty good about it, but I don't know how long I have before it has to happen for it to count, and that is the Predators will trade one of their defensemen. Remember, that's still sort of out there for sure. So, Derek, I can't remember. You were absent. Yeah. It was an absentee ballot. Do you remember, Caroline, what he told pass along to you?
It was, I think your take to the bank was that Barry Trotz was going to make a trade. I don't think he was going to make a trade or make a move in free agency.
Mm. Well, he made some moves in free agency, that's for sure.
Yes.
Which was a little vague.
Yes.
I let it slide your absentee ballot.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been too, you know, specific in my Take It to the Banks. Mm-hmm. And it's on one end, I won, but then on the other end, because I was too detailed, I ended up losing.
You couldn't get the whole thing.
I couldn't get the full points. So,
but the best is when you're detailed and you just right on the money.
Just take it.
Just hit it. Yeah. Mm.
All right, so I will start off this week. I am going to say, because he absolutely hit a frozen rope home run last night, finally, Pete Alonso has been in a big slump for the Mets. The Mets as a team have been awful throughout June, but they're undefeated so far in July. Knock on wood. They got one more series before the All-Star break, but Pete Alonso is going to be in the home run derby again this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take to the bank. Pete Alonso, the polar bear, is going to reclaim the home run derby championship.
All right.
Okay. He's got a tough matchup. He's got Julio Rodriguez, the hometown kid, in Seattle in the first round. Not a gimme at all. The place is going to be going nuts for Julio. But I got my take it to the bank.
I like that pick, Willie.
With Pete Alonso in Seattle to reclaim the title.
I like it.
Okay. my take it to the bank is the Tigers has a two-game sort of series with Toronto.
Oh.
I think they take both of them.
Oh.
Yes. They got Fado pitching tomorrow, I think, and Manning's pitching today or vice versa.
Okay, so you like your hometown Tigers. Like, he's got the Tigers. Detroit shirt on today.
Right. I got my Detroit representing.
They're getting a little bit better each year. So they got the young players coming along.
I'm picking my Tigers to take both games, tonight and tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
So take it to the bank.
I've been doing a whole lot of baseball, so I'm going to switch it up a little bit.
Okay.
Are you too familiar with the ongoing lawsuit between, and you will never guess the two people that I'm going to name, Victor Wembanyama and Britney Spears?
I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you joined us for this because we were early in this hour just trying to piece together why they were together. They were not together.
But they were in the same area.
Yeah, they're in Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah.
In Vegas.
So Britney does her thing in Vegas.
She's the queen of Vegas.
Does she has a residency in Vegas? Like
she, for the longest time,
there a lot.
Was like a the staple Vegas performer and performed almost every night in Vegas. But she does have a home in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I of my brief knowledge of the situation. So the lawsuit.
I've seen the tape.
Yeah.
I've seen the tape.
That Britney's Victor Wembanyama's security guard slapped Britney Spears in the face because she tapped him on the shoulder because she wanted to give him a hug or take a picture with him or something. And the security guard hit her in the face, so she pressed charges.
Victor should be running up to Britney. It shouldn't be Britney running up to Victor.
Who is Victor?
He hasn't done anything yet.
An icon.
Britney is an icon.
But I don't think he saw her. I don't think Victor saw her.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
I think that Victor Wembanyama wins the lawsuit. That is my take.
I
guess we can't say, because she's married, so I guess we can't say they'll start dating in like 3 months.
Well, apparently Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady are the hottest new celeb couple on the block.
Oh, man, I didn't hear about that one. That's some tea.
That is some tea. That is some tea.
Victor also can't go to the bars yet, too. I mean, they're limited where they can go on the dates.
19?
He's only 18.
Yeah.
I will say before we go off the air, I'll do my take it to the bank before we get off.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Mookie Betts to be in the home run. Obviously, he's in the home run derby, but to be matched up with Adolis Garcia.
Ooh.
And I'm going to take the hometown kid to win it all.
Heard them on MLB Network saying he's the biggest underdog, too.
Yep.
So the payout, if you will, if Mookie wins, would be quite big.
Indeed. And the thing is with Mookie, with his bat swing, just the rotation of it all, it's quick. And that's what you need in this home run derby. It's all time, so it's quick.
Mookie, who is, 5'9"?
Yeah.
He's got
23
got
home runs.
A lot of power.
23 home runs already this year. So he is doing well. So that would be fun to see him in the home run derby.
What's the latest with Aaron Judge? Is he going to be participating?
Isn't he hurt?
I don't think so. The toe is still
hurt.
Bothering.
I don't think.
Can we stop talking about his freaking toe?
It's his toe, man.
I turn on ESPN, it's toe gate.
Yeah, it's all about the toe.
It's a broken toe.
Surgery after the season, when's he coming back, all this stuff.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Toe gate 2023.
All right, so we have our take it to the banks. Mm-hmm. Quick sneak preview of what you've got coming here, starting at 2.
Yeah, so I heard you discussing this a little bit, but Mike Florio discussing whether or not Mike Vrabel is on the hot seat. Junie and I will be discussing that. And also, I thought you two were the president and the vice president of the Trevor Lawrence fan club.
Uh-huh.
Junie is the president, vice president, secretary of state, secretary of defense, the whole cabinet. Junie Riddle on the Trevor Lawrence fan club. So we will be discussing our thoughts on Trevor Lawrence.
All right. That is all coming your way. Everybody have a great weekend. Derek, good show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you guys on Monday. We'll be reunited on Monday, the three of us. Looking forward to that. Stay tuned. Caroline and Junie coming your way on Jared's slot. So keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.
Be love and love on somebody.